So we've made it to the Seder night. And if you're like everyone else, you're a basket case. You're all wiped. You haven't slept. You've been working cleaning up the house. You haven't had a normal meal in a few days. So you're ravenous. And the Seder is going to take time. So my recommendation, first of all, fast food for Pesach. Tuna fish. Okay? You can easily buy tuna fish cans. That's something that doesn't require any cooking or anything. You want, you can get tuna and oil. Next, if you have a home, I want to mention three foods that are staples for you as yeshiva guys and guys who don't have a home yet. Stock up on tuna fish. Eggs. You can make eggs on your own. You know, you could take hot water from the hot water thing there, pour it on the egg, let it sit for 2 minutes, put in another thing of hot water for another 2 minutes. You do this four times, you got yourself a soft-boiled egg, hard-boiled egg, okay? I'm telling you tips and tricks of a yeshiva guy. Okay, a guy who's been many years in yeshiva. I was many years alone here without a family, without a home. So I had to figure out how to make things work. I didn't have a kitchen, and there was no food in yeshiva. Everyone was gone. It wasn't machon meir. There was nothing, okay? So number one, tuna fish. That you could buy kosher for Passover. You do need kosher for Passover dishes if you're going to be here part of the time. You need matzah, tuna fish, eggs, and if you have some access to some kind of kitchen and pot, potatoes. Potatoes are very satisfying. You could really make yourself cooked potatoes, and that's filling, and it's not complicated, and you could have yourself a delicious meal having potatoes. And now, if you're Sephardi, you have hummus. Saying on Pesach. If you're Ashkenazi, so that's kitnios, we don't eat hummus on Pesach. Now, next thing. Unless you're Hasidish, anyone here Chusid? No one here is Hasidish. Okay. So the rest of us, what?
What defines a Chasid?
You're a Chusid? Okay. So this isn't relevant to you. However, for the rest of us who are not Hasidim, Hasidim have a custom that they don't get their matzahs wet. The rest of us don't have that. That's called in Yiddish language, it's called shruya. Okay, gebrocht, right? So what you could do, and this is an old Ashkenazi tradition, is you take a matzah and you break it into small pieces in a cup, and you add coffee and sugar and milk and hot water, and you have yourself something delicious. It's you have this mixture of, you can ground up like 3-4 matzahs in a cup, and you add coffee and sugar and hot water and milk, and you've made yourself, some people call it gebrocht, some people call it Pesach cereal. My kids like to eat it in a bowl with chocolate milk instead of coffee, right? We break up the matzah into a bowl. Some people make it with hot milk. If you have access to a milchik, a dairy pot, where you could heat up your milk, you could pour in hot milk, and then put in the hot cocoa or the coffee or whatever it is. But that's an easy way to make a very easy dish. All you need is hot water, matzahs, a cup, right? A little bit of something, either coffee sugar. Or sugar, right? Coffee or sugar or hot cocoa.
Even just matzah with butter and salt, butter and sugar.
Right, very good. Now, another trick that Ashkenazim do, and with this we will end our tricks and go on to our Seder, is that some people find it difficult over Pesach to eat the hard matzah, especially children. So what people will sometimes do is they'll take a few matzah, put it in a bag, and put it with water. And then after an hour, the matzah becomes like a Sephardi matzah. It's soft like a pita. So then, if you find it hard to eat the dry Ashkenazi matzah, so you can see the matzah folds. It's like a cracker. You could eat it. It doesn't. It's not brittle anymore. So I'm saying you could take a plastic bag, put in two matzahs, put in some water, and let it sit. Some people do it overnight, but you don't have to be so sophisticated. After an hour, it's nice and soft. But some mothers, when they want their kids to have, you know, on the bus, they want to make them crackers and let the kid eat crackers and cheese and whatever. On Pesach, you don't have crackers. So this is something, you know, if a kid eats a matzah and it breaks, so then it cracks all over and he has a little piece left in his hand, right? He took a bite, the matzah cracked, all the matzah fell on the floor, and what's left is in his hand and in his mouth, right? So if you soak it, then the matzah gets nice and soft. So this, again, this doesn't work for our chusid, but for the rest of us, that's a very good solution. You can make yourself soft matzahs, and then again, it becomes more versatile. These are tips and tricks. Now we begin the real thing. Everyone should have a Haggadah. Everyone should, if you have a pillow, get it. Good. If not, you should get a pillow. And we will set up our Seder plate. So our Seder plate consists of three matzahs.
A ravine is three olives, you say? An egg and a half?
Correct. Okay, so I went out to Mash Shurim, and I worked really hard at a matzah bakery till 12 in the morning, and I came up with these wonderful hand matzahs. And They're a little bit broken. So these are the pieces of the matzah which I disqualified from my Pesach matzahs. Like you see this fold, next week, Monday, this coming week, Monday, we will have a class on what disqualifies something from, on how we do matzah baking. However, for our model Seder, they're okay. So, so here we have matzah that's handmade. However, I don't have any whole handmade matzah. So, you see this fold? You see this?
Yeah.
So that disqualifies my matzah, because in here, that didn't get baked well. When it was still fresh out of the oven, you could feel inside and feel how soft and doughy it was. So, for our model Seder, these will suffice.
You actually going to make these?
Yes.
When?
We will go matzah baking next week. Don't worry about it. This I did with my community. You guys and I are going on Monday. Monday at 6:45, we have a class on the laws of matzah baking. And at 8:15, we're having a trip out to Mashu'urim, and we will bake matzahs. And after we bake matzahs, if we'll still have time, we might actually go out for dinner. But don't count on that. Eat your dinner here. Okay, don't count on that. Because last year there was no place open. Last year, nothing was open. It wasn't relevant. 8:15 at night. Yeah, we will go out on our trip. At 6:45, we'll have our class.
We leave at 8:15.
And at 8:15, right. Okay, so for the Seder, we set up our Seder plate. Ordinarily, we have a very fancy Seder plate. And on our Seder plate, we will have the following. We will have three matzahs. Okay. And machine matzahs are also fine, so long as it's shmura matzah. Matzah that was watched for the sake of the mitzvah. So we have one. Right, that's not whole. No. This is also not whole.
Yeah. When they get to Australia, you find out that none of them are whole. you have to buy like two or three boxes to get enough for the Seder.
In the commute from Kochav Yaakov to here, we will make believe this is whole.
The bottom one is
whole. Yeah, I know. We will make believe these three are whole. The rest can go over here. Okay, now. So we have our three matzahs. Oh, boy. And we have on our Seder plate. What goes on the Seder plate? Help me out, guys. So, you want to pass me there one roasted. We will have our karpas on the right, which will be dipped in salt water on the left. Okay. And we will have our maror on the right, which will be dipped in the charoset on the left. And finally we have, we have our roasted shank bone, our zroah, that reminds us of the paschal offering that was roasted on the right. And our beitza, our cooked egg, on the left. Someone want to pass me an egg? An egg. So you can put it in there. Okay. Thank you very much. And now we are about ready to begin. There's one more thing which we don't have, and we are going to have in 10 seconds, and that is a picture. Everyone could please put their cell phones on silent. We're about to begin our model Seder. Let's grab a quick picture of everyone here, so we can put it on Facebook and tell people how lucky they are if they make it to Machon Meir. Can we have a big smile? Uno, dos, tres, one, two, three, smile. No, I don't see smiles. Okay.
Make a joke.
Okay. I'm not funny enough without a joke. Okay.
We need one with you in the picture.
Yeah, one take yourself, one with me in the picture. Okay, put your cell phones on silent, please.
If you want to get my camera, actually has a function for
begin.
That.
Thank you. So our maror that goes here. Right, our maror is here. Now if you buy the leafy vegetables that are supposed to be bug free, you still have to wash them with soap water. The kitchen staff did that for us with soap water. Yeah, wash them off. Now, our Seder table should really be clear of things so that we have room for our Haggadah. Does everyone have their Haggadah?
It's interesting. Mine shows at the full.
Right. There are different traditions. You're not sitting on the Seder plate. Do you mind putting all the excess stuff off the table? The table should look nice. And we're about to begin. Now, us Ashkenazim, okay, our custom is that we wear a kittel. We wear a white cloak to the Seder. Why do we do that? Why do Ashkenazim do that?
Only once married.
So, only when you're married, and not the first year after marriage. Can you pass me those plates, please?
Not the first year after marriage.
No, not many have the custom in the cutlery. I'm saying, let's clear the table of the unnecessary stuff. Let's get the yom tov feel here. Okay. Gentlemen, you want to collect the plates and bowls here on me? Let's take them off the table, and we will begin. Okay. Those of us who have not yet finished conversion should know that our grape juice is all mevushal. But when you're a guest by someone's house, you don't know what wine or grape juice is cooked, is not cooked. Don't handle it. Don't you be the butler. The custom is at the Seder night, because we're all making believe we're kings, that everyone pours for someone else their grape juice or wine. Okay? A man should not pour for a woman, and a woman should not pour for a man, and a person who has not yet finished their conversion process should not pour unless you know that that grape juice or wine was cooked, otherwise don't handle it. Now, over here, everything's cooked. In my house, I try to make sure everything I bring to the table is cooked always, so no one should get embarrassed, God forbid. However, I don't know where you guys will be. I don't know in whose home you're going to be and what they're serving, so don't get into sticky situations. Just let other people handle the grape juice and wine, okay? These are all cooked, so that's fine. This one's cooked, this one should be cooked, also cooked, okay? So all of our grape juice here is cooked. So we will begin. Yes, sir?
So why do they wear the kittel?
Why do we wear the kittel? Good question. Why do we wear the kittel? So there are three reasons why we wear a kittel. One reason is because we're making believe we're kings tonight. So people take out all their expensive silverware, and people have their nicest stuff at the table on the Seder. You might get carried away with this making believe you're a king and feel a little bit full of oneself. So we have this custom to remind ourselves, this is what I'm going to get buried in. The worms are going to eat this and me. So it's to humble a person, to remind ourselves, all of this at the end of the day is going somewhere else. That's one reason. The second reason is, it's royal clothing. It's part of being a king tonight. So I'm wearing a white robe. And the third reason is because we're recreating the event of the Paschal offering in the Beit HaMikdash, and people used to wear special clothing in honor of bringing an offering. So we also wear special clothing. So we have three different reasons given as to why we wear, married people wear the white cloak called the kittel. You'll notice that the kittel is very, very plain. That's the way we get buried. Now, this year Pesach is special. Every year Pesach is special, but this year falls out on Shabbos. So we have additions in the Seder. Like in Kiddush, we have to mention Shabbat. That's the major difference. Our Kiddush
is... You still say Shalom Aleichem?
No. Maybe yes. I have to check. That's a good question. I don't remember. I got to check. Okay. I have to check, I don't remember. So, coming back to our Seder. So we are about to begin. We rush home from shul. We don't stick around and tell people hello and how are you and what's doing. We want to get home early so the kids don't fall asleep. Kadesh is the tati rushes home, the father rushes home to make kiddush before the little children fall asleep. And once the Alter Rebbe of Chabad had his son come home and they were about to start the Seder, and he said, Shefele, tell me, what is Kadesh? So the boy said, we make Kiddush. So the Alter Rebbe said, your Rebbe didn't say more than that? So he said, no. So the next morning he called in the Rebbe and he said, what did you teach the boys? What is Kadesh? So the Rebbe said, I taught them we make Kiddush. So he said, but that's not what your Rebbe taught you when you were a child in school. What did your Rebbe teach you when you were a child in school? He said, oh, my Rebbe taught me that the father rushes home from shul to make kiddush before the little children fall asleep. But I didn't feel like I have to tell them that. So the Alter Rebbe said, you're making a mistake. The concept of Kadesh rushing home to make kiddush is firstly halachic. There's a halachic concept. You're supposed to rush home to make kiddush because the kids shouldn't fall asleep. But it is also conceptually, when we rush home to make kiddush, we tell the children, the Ribon Shel Olam is also rushing to take us out of this exile. He's rushing to make kiddush, to sanctify his Jewish people again, before the children fall asleep, just like Hashem took us out of Egypt before the last moment, so too, we realize at the Seder that Hashem is also rushing to get us out of here, to bring us to the point of the redemption we anticipate. And our Seder, in fact, has three components. The first component of the Seder is Matchil Bignutum Sayem B'Shevach. We start the Seder, we mention how bad we had it. We used to be pagans, we used to be slaves, and we evolve into how Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. That's part one. And so we have Matchil Bignut, Meseyim b'shevach. Then we have the meal, and then we speak about the future, how we are still the chosen people, and we anticipate that things will still get better. And that's the second part of the Seder after the meal. So we will begin now. Everyone should please have a cup. Everyone should fill their cups. We will make kiddush. We have a mitzvah tonight that when we drink the four cups of wine, we will lean. We will lean to show that we are free men. That's called heseba. How do you lean? You turn your chair around. No, what Tzvi is doing is the mistake that everyone does. How does everyone lean? They do this. Their chair is behind them, and they lean like this. Now that's not so comfortable, because you're not leaning on anything. Okay, so how are you supposed to lean? You're supposed to tell Yitzchak, don't move, and put your arm around them. No, you could do that. It says in the days of Rava they did that. The students used to lean on one another's knees. But you turn around the chair. And now you could lean on the chair. And ideally you should have a pillow. You're supposed to lean on something. When do we lean? We lean when we do things that symbolize freedom. Like when we drink the wine, the four cups of wine. Like when we eat the matzah. What about when we eat the maror? Then we're remembering how bitter it was. Then we don't lean, right? Okay, so we are about ready to begin. Everyone should have a cup. Good evening, Mr. Bini Ovadia. Shalom. Baruch haba. Bini Ovadia used to be our madrich.
Should we clean this up?
You grab a tissue? Yeah, I brought back tissues and clean it up. Let's begin.